Blog Talk Radio.
Praise the Lord, everybody. I want to welcome you to another edition of the Miracle Man Show here on April 27th of 2020. And I'm your host for this evening, as is usually the case, the Miracle Man. And it's great to be with you. And as I've been saying a lot lately, what a day we live in. What a day. What a day. But I know God's on our side, as he always is. And America is slowly starting to reopen. I see that a couple different states down south, they decided to open their restaurants back up. One of them went as far as to go straight to 50% capacity. One did down there in the south. Another opened them, but I think they're like 25% or 30 or something. So things are starting to come along a little bit, which is good to see. Also, the president basically had it with the briefings that had Fauci in them with them. And basically they've decided that he's ready to move on to just opening. You saw that too? Cause I saw that, which is good to see. And it looks like, at least at the federal level, we won't be going towards mandatory vaccines. Some states may. We have to pray against it. But we need to continue to pray over our land, which I will be dealing with a bit tonight. I talk about that verse here and there, that verse that's in 2 Chronicles 7, verse 14, where it says, if my people will humble themselves and they seek my face, if they humble themselves and turn from their wicked ways, I will hear from heaven and forgive their sin, and I will heal their land. Now, I've been reading different things. In some scenarios, they talk about how this much of stuff's all going to shut down permanently, like 30% of these are the big get bigger, or what have you. But to that I say, and I'm going to say it, that this is how it is. America has to open up, and I applaud these states in the South. Michigan, unfortunately, she made the decision today that it's going to be based on what I like to call the fake scientists. That's what they are too, Shelley, the fake scientists. And Illinois, their governor in another state, he had a restraining order put on him by a judge. He basically is deciding that he's gonna go around it anyway and issue more directives. I am going to usually I try to keep I won't talk about politics at all like normally, but I am going to say something that some people might not like. Here's what I think needs to happen. It is time for president to issue the executive order that basically mandates the federal reopening. Don't you think the same thing? I think it has to happen. Has to. Otherwise, states will lock this. There are certain states, I will not say who, that will drag this on as long as possible, which we can't do that because this cannot go on if infinitum or like just keep going on and on and on. It's unsustainable. The America cannot be sustained. America was not created to be shut down. That's the last I'm going to say about that. And you can agree. Just don't throw a stone at me. But like I would say it. So I said we have to pray for our leaders who have authority over us. And in my state, we might have to contact our national representatives to Congress that represent Michigan, because this cannot go on. And the reason they did this whole thing was locked down and everything else, here's what it was about. Let me tell you. It was about shutting down the church, shutting down the economy. I said shutting down the church and shutting down the economy. That's what this whole thing was designed to do. And I'm so glad that some of our leaders are finally starting to realize. I wish I could say all, but not yet. So we have to continue to pray. We have to continue to believe God. This has been here since November. It's a fact. There's no way around it. But the prayer of the saints can fix all of us. Because let me tell you something, listeners. Jesus is the vaccine. Jesus is the antidote, the medical breakthrough that will destroy this thing. He can. And we just got to continue to pray and believe God. And I'm going to say something that I've said for a lot of years. God will make a way where there seems to be no way. He has done this time and time again, and he'll do it again this time. He will. And so you just got to keep believing God and keep praying and live in faith, not fear. If you are faithless, you are fearful. I will say it again. If you are faithless, you are fearful. More faith, less fear. That's how it is. And I'm seeing good signs, but just because you see good things happening doesn't mean, okay, you can let up and quit praying, because we have to keep praying. We have to keep believing God. We have to stay the course, and we're going to get through this because God is going to see us through. He wants to see us through, which is so good. He really does. He wants to. Now, we're going to pray about all this. Remember the 6 points I told you about that we're supposed to pray? Number one, we're rebuking this virus and telling it to go. Number two, we're rebuking the spirit of Koran. And Koran is the name of the demon that has caused all this fear. And while you deal with Koran, you also got to rebuke stupid, which has basically caused our elected officials to make not good decisions. Number three is that we are to pray for the elected officials who have authority over us. Number four, we have to pray for the economy. Pray that we do see this V-shaped recovery. Number five. Pray for the healthcare workers. And then number six, we are praying for our pastors. Those are the six things. Also, remember the homework assignments. One, read Psalm 23 every day out loud. Number two, read Psalm 91. Number three, put a sign out in your yard. It can preach. Maybe one that says fear is a liar. Fear doesn't stand a chance. Victory is ours. If you are full of faith, you do not have fear. You know, different sayings like that. You can preach via a sign. Or a shirt, or your mask. Your mask can preach. You know that, listeners? Your mask can preach. It can. I talk more, I already did more politics than I care to on the show. Because remember, I tried to keep that out of here? That's why you whispered it. Because that. and but anyhow, yeah. Preaches, mate. You know, mate. And so, by all means, do that. So we're going to pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you, Lord, for this time together. I come before you. I curse this virus. We curse this virus and what it's doing to these people, all those who have died and been infected. I pray that you would give strength to the families who have lost a loved one, that you would strengthen those who have been infected, that you would heal those who have been infected with this virus. I call them healed in the name of Jesus. May they find you. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. And I rebuke right now, I rebuke the spirit of Koran the moron. I rebuke you, Koran. You will die right now. And you can go ahead and take that virus with you. And I rebuke you, stupid. You are also released. I mean, your power is broken, and I call that and I give you all the praise and honor and glory for that. And Heavenly Father, I pray right now for our elected officials, from the White House to the mayor and the township. I thank you, Lord God, that they make decisions that are wise, not overreach. No more of this overreach, because that doesn't help anything. And I just thank you, Lord God, that your hand is on them. Thank you that you're dealing with those who have decided to go out of line. May they be dealt with by you, and also by those who have chosen to do it the right way. And Heavenly Father, I pray right now that our economy, this economy, would bounce back quickly. It would go back to how it was. And all the great things that we were doing in America, and all the greatness that was happening, and everything that was taking place, and all the everything that was going on. And I thank you for pent-up demand. I thank you that you're strengthening this country and its economy. And now, Lord, I thank you for the healthcare providers, all those that work in the hospitals and the doctor's offices and everywhere else that they work. And that you're just giving strength to them, and you're just working on them. I thank you that they would lead patients to you, Jesus, patients that don't know you. And I give you praise and honor and glory for that. And Lord, I thank you for our pastors, those who pastor a church. Thank you that you give them strength, and that you are just making a way for them. Thank you that our churches are going to make it through this. And I give you all the praise and honor and glory for that. In Jesus' name, amen. And amen. And amen. I want to encourage you to go to your local donut, I mean your local coffee shop or donut shop that's open, and keep, you know, keep them going. Because, like I've said, we're going to get through it. And also, remember, any size Coke is always just a dollar at your local McDonald's. With ice, without ice, regular Dr. Pepper, right, whatever. And just go with that. Nice, refreshing Coca-Cola and some of America's favorite fries. Now, listeners, I want to encourage you to please tell others how they can be a part of the show. The best way to be a part is to call in and you want to talk to me about basically anything you want to talk about. The number to call in is area code 215-383-3810. Again, that is 215-383-3810. Listen for the prompts, and when you hear the prompt that says to call into a live show, press 1. Go ahead and press 1. And you will be taken through a call screener. And then I'll let you on. Now we're going to sing a couple of songs. And then we are, and then we're going to pray. And then I'm going to get into the word of the Lord. Sorry. What I was saying was we're going to pray. And then we're going to sing. Then we're going to pray. And then we're going to get into the word of the Lord. All right. So, first one I'm going to sing is Let me think here. God, I'm on my knees again. God, I'm on my knees again. I need you. God, I need you. Walking down these desert roads, water for my thirsty soul. I need you. Lord, I need you. Your forgiveness is like sweet, sweet honey on my lips. Like sound of a symphony to my ears. Like holy water on my skin. I want to be born again. I need you. God, I need you. Take me to the riverside. I want to be baptized. I need you. God, I need you. Your forgiveness is like sweet, sweet honey on my lips. It's like sound of a symphony to my ears. It's like holy water on my skin. I don't want to abuse your grace. God, I need it every day. The only thing that really makes me want to change. I don't want to abuse your grace. God, I need it every day. The only thing that ever really makes me want to change. God, I don't want to abuse your grace. God, I need it every day. The only thing that ever really makes me want to change. Your forgiveness is like sweet, sweet honey on my lips. Like a sound of a symphony to my ears. Like holy water. Your forgiveness is like sweet, sweet honey on my lips. Like a sound of a symphony to my ears. And like holy water on my skin. Like holy water on my skin. It's like holy water. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Walking around these walls, I thought by now they'd fall, but you have never failed me yet. Waiting for change they to come, keep me within your love. I know you've never failed me yet. Your promise still stands. Great is your faithfulness. Your faithfulness. Your promise still stands. Great. Jesus said, you never fail me yet. I know the night won't pass. When the night won't last, Jesus. Your word will come to pass. My heart will sing your praise again. Jesus, you're still enough. Keep me within your love. My heart will sing your praise again. Your promise still stands. Great is your faithfulness. Your faithfulness. I'm still in your hands. Great is your confidence. You never fail me yet. I see you move. You move a mountain. And I believe. I see you do it again. You made a way when there was no way. And I believe. I see you do it again. I see you move. You move the mountain. And I believe, I see you do it again. You made a way when there was no way. And I believe, I see you do it again. See you do it again. Your promise still stands. Great is your faithfulness, your faithfulness. I'm still in your hand. Great is my confidence. You've never failed me yet. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. You never failed me yet. You always... I've seen you move. I know you moved the mountains. I believe I'll see you do it again. I'll see you do it again, Jesus. You make a way when there is no way. And I believe we're going to see you do it again. Lord God, I thank you for these listeners. I claim that they've come with a heart ready to receive tonight from you, and minds and ears that are open and ready to hear what you have to say. And I just thank you. I just thank you, Lord God, that your word would have free course in the lives of these people tonight. And I just thank you for that in Jesus' name. And now, Lord, I make my confession over this program. I say that finances will come into this program. I thank you that sponsors and partners come into this program. I thank you, Jesus, that increases in listenership come to this program. And most of all, I thank you that souls will come into this program. In Jesus' matchless name, amen and amen. Go with me to 2 Chronicles 6. Amen. 1 Chronicles chapter 6. Verse 21. And then we're going to go through chapter 7. I'm going to start with verse 21, chapter 6 of 2 Chronicles, NIV. And I want to encourage you to follow along, whatever I do. Praise God. Hear the supplications of your servant and of your people Israel when they pray truth, when they pray towards this place. Hear from heaven your dwelling. Your dwelling place. And when you hear, forgive. When a man wrongs his neighbor and is required to take an oath, and he comes and swears the oath before your altar in this temple, then hear from heaven and act. Judge between your servants, repaying the guilty by bringing down on his own head what he has done. Declare the innocent not guilty, and therefore establish his innocence. Let's turn the page. This is a quote. When your people Israel have been defeated by an enemy because they have sinned against you, and when they turn back and confess your name, praying and making supplication before you in this temple, then hear from heaven and forgive the sin of your people Israel and bring them back to the land you gave to them and their fathers. Now you see, Israel had committed treason against the Lord. When I discuss and exhort, I'll tell you how this compares to America. Off pause, verse 26. When the heavens are shut up and there is no rain because your people have sinned against you, and when they pray toward this place and confess your name and turn from their sin because you have afflicted them, then hear from heaven and forgive the sin of your servants your people Israel. Teach them the right way to live, and send rain on the land you gave your people for an inheritance. When famine or plague comes to the land, or blight or mildew, locusts or grasshoppers, or when enemies besiege them in any of their cities, whatever disaster or disease may come, and when a prayer or plea is made to any of your people Israel, each one aware of his afflictions and pains, and spreading out his hand toward this temple, then hear from heaven, your dwelling place, forgive, and deal with each man according to all he does, since you know his heart. And for you alone know the hearts of men, so that they will fear you and will walk in your ways all the time they live in the land and gave our fathers. As for the foreign who does not belong to your people Israel, but has come from a distant land because of your great name and your mighty hand and your outstretched arm, when he comes and prays toward this temple, then hear from heaven, your dwelling place, and do whatever the foreigner asks of you, so that all the peoples of the earth may know that your name will not hear your name and will fear you, as do your own people, Israel. And you may know that this house I have built bears your name. When your people go to war against their enemies, wherever you send them, and when they pray to you toward this city and your chosen, the temple I have built for you, name, then hear from heaven their prayer and their plea, and afford this cause when they sin against you, for there is no one who does not sin, and you become angry with them and give them over to the enemy, who takes them captive by a land far away, and if they have a change of heart, the Lord, where they are held captive, and repent and plead with you in the land of their captivity, and say, we have sinned, we have done wrong, we have acted wickedly. And if they turn back to you with all their heart and soul in the land of their captivity, where they were taken, and pray toward that land you gave their fathers, toward the city you have chosen, and toward the temple I have built for your name, then from heaven, your dwelling place, hear their prayer and their plea, and uphold their cause, and forgive your people who have sinned against you. Now, my God, may your eyes be open, and may your ears be attentive to the prayers offered in this place. Now arise, O Lord God, come to your resting place, you and the ark of your might. May your priests, O Lord God, may they be clothed with salvation. May your saints rejoice in your goodness, O Lord God. Do not reject your anointed one. Remember the great love promised by David, your servant. The dedication of the temple. Excuse me. In verse 1, chapter 7. Now when Solomon finished praying, fire came down from heaven and consumed the burnt offering and the sacrifices, and the glory of the Lord filled the temple. The priests could not enter the temple of the Lord because of the glory of the Lord filled it. When all the Israelites saw the fire coming down and the glory of the Lord above the temple, they knelt on the pavement with their faces to the ground, and they worshiped and gave thanks to the Lord, saying, "Take my mask away." Oh, Shelley, let me think here. Did it say that?
Yeah.
Oh, no. No, the Bible never said, "Take my mask away." Oh, that's what you would want it to say, mate.
Yes.
Verse 3, Israel saw fire coming down and going to the Lord above the temple, and they knelt on the pavement with their faces to the ground, and they worshipped and gave thanks to the Lord, saying, "He is good, for his love endures forever." Then the king and all the people offered sacrifices before the Lord. And King Solomon offered a sacrifice of 22,000 head of cattle and 120,000 sheep and goats. So the king and all the people dedicated the temple of God. The priests took their possessions, as did the Levites. And the Lord's musical instruments, which King David had made for praising the Lord, and which were used when he gave thanks, saying, "His love endures forever." Opposite the Levites, the priests blew their trumpets, and all the Israelites were standing. Solomon consecrated the middle part of the courtyard in front of the temple of the Lord, and there he offered burnt offerings and the fat of the fellowship offerings, because the bronze altar he had made could not hold the burnt offering, the grain offerings, and the fat portions. Grain offerings and the fat offerings. So Solomon, verse 8, so Solomon observed the festival at that time for 7 days, and all Israel with them, a vast assembly, people from Libo Hamash and the Wadi Wafi of Egypt. On the eighth day, they held an assembly, for they had celebrated the dedication of the altar for 7 days and the festival in 7 days more. On the 23rd day of the seventh month, he sent the people to their homes, joyful, glad in heart, and the good things the Lord had done for David and Solomon and for his people Israel. Verse 11. Then Solomon had finished the temple of the Lord and the royal place, and had succeeded in carrying out all he had in mind to do in the temple and the Lord and in his own place. The Lord appeared to him at night, and he said, "I have heard your prayer, and I have chosen this place for myself as a temple for sacrifices. When I shut up the heavens so that there is no rain, I command locusts to devour the land, or I send a plague among my people. Verse 14, pay attention. Underline this. If my people, who are called by my name, if they will humble themselves and pray, if they seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sin. And I will heal their land. Hallelujah. I will heal their land. Now, verse 50 now. Now my eyes will be open, my ears attentive, will be attentive to the prayers offered in this place. In other words, what he means is I'm paying attention to your prayers that are offered. I have chosen and I have consecrated this temple so that my name may be there forever. That means America was birthed to be a Christian nation forever. Oh, whoops, sorry about that. I don't know why I said that right there, but when we go over it, I'll say it. My eyes and my heart will always be there. As for you, if you walk before me as David your father did, and you do all that I command, and you observe my decrees and laws, then I will establish your royal throne that I covenanted with David your father when I said you shall never fail to have a man rule over Israel. But if you turn away and you forsake the decrees and commands I have given you, and you go off to serve other gods, worship them, then I will uproot Israel from your land, which I have given them, and I will reject this temple I have consecrated for my name. I will make it byword and an object of ridicule among all peoples. And though this temple is now the imposing, all who pass by it will be appalled and will say, why has the Lord done such a thing to this land and to this temple? People will answer, because they forsook the Lord, their God, and their fathers who brought them up out of Egypt, and have embraced other gods, worshiping and serving them. That is why he brought all this disaster on them. All right. So when we begin, we begin in chapter 6. The Israelites had sinned against the Lord. Solomon's praying to the Lord, asking for forgiveness. Then the God basically acknowledges that he hears him. He's asking Solomon to heal the land. Chapter 7. They brought so many offerings to the altar that the altar couldn't hold the offering. And then they have a big festival after the temple of the Lord is finished. to celebrate. Then everybody goes home. Then the Lord says to Solomon, if my people will humble themselves and pray, if they seek my face, and they humble themselves, and they turn from their wicked ways. In other words, they repent. Then God said, I will hear from heaven, forgive their sin, and heal their broken land. Let's go back to 15 and 16. Now my eyes will be open. This is the Lord talking. God said, then my eyes will be open. My ears will be attentive to the prayers offered in this place. In other words, God said, I can hear your prayers that you're praying. I have chosen and consecrated this temple so that my name may be there forever. All right. So, America was the only nation other than Israel that was designed to be a Christian nation. No other nation was designed to be an American nation. I mean, a Christian nation, excuse me. No other nation was designed to be a Christian nation. Not China, not India, not Italy, not Ukraine, not the United Kingdom. Nope, no other one but America and Israel. Now, we have the Constitution, created by our forefathers. In it, as part of the First Amendment, we have the free. In the First Amendment, we have freedom of speech. As part of that, freedom of religion, freedom to assemble for religion. That means freedom to go to church is afforded by the Constitution of the United States. You say, oh, Miracle Man, you're just going to talk about why they should open the church. No. No. This is to talk about God is, this was designed to be a Christian nation. It was designed to be a Christian nation. But things have happened along the way. In the early 60s, man-made laws, actually a woman, but man-made laws that said that it was now illegal to pray in public schools. So basically God was taken out of the schools. 60 years ago, mind you. 1973, Roe v. Wade. The Supreme Court allowed abortion to take place in this country. In 2015, gay marriage is legalized. Over the last 25 years, medical marijuana, either recreationally or medicinally, has been allowed in some form in over 30 states. Think about this. In a nation that was founded on Christian values. Founded on Christian values. And then we have the virus hit this country. And let me make this straight. God did not create this virus to hurt mankind. He didn't create it. And people can argue all they want about it came from a bat, or it came from a lab, or it came from a... Now, there's some things I know, but that's not the angle that I'm talking about this tonight. I'm talking about how America is a Christian nation. Over the span of a week, of days, in mid-March, states decided to limit the size of gatherings, chose not to make exemptions for religious meetings, religious gatherings, citing public health. Let me ask, where on the First Amendment does it say unless there's a virus? Trying to think here. Oh, that's right, Shelley. It's not in there, is it? It's not in there. So, you have these governors who decided, and these county officials and city officials who have shut down churches in the name of a virus. Part of the goal of this whole thing, the virus, first of all, it's not just about a virus. The idea has been to gain control of the population, to try to allow this whole one world government thing. That's why the World Health Organization and all these others have done this. Enough is enough. Enough is enough. And but now I'm going to move on to, like I said, America. So America over the years has sinned against God. The kicking God out of schools, the abortion, the gay marriage, the marijuana, and all these other things in between. When you got these user-friendly churches that preach, you can drink and still go to heaven. It's all right, just don't get drunk. There's so many different ways to go to heaven, not just the one. We do a light show, and we're done with the service in about 25 minutes. Like the first church of the McDonald's. and you got all that happening and not the true word of God. Folks, I hope that when the church gets back together again, that people are hungry for the things of God. I know I am. And God still moves in these online services, but it's not the same as being there in person and just feeling to the same degree that tangible touch of the Holy Spirit. And so many great revivals have taken place in America over the years. I think America will be a big part of this next revival, which I believe will be the final outpouring. I think America will be one of the key parts of this revival. I do. Now, some of you may be wondering, is this judgment on America for all the abortion and what have you? God wouldn't take just anybody out. But I can tell you one thing. In my church, not one person has caught the virus. Dr. Buckley has said so. God has his hand on his people. He does. He has his hand on his people. And another thing I know, the wealth of the wicked is stored up for the righteous. The wealth of the wicked is stored up for the righteous. The Bible says. Now about the place where it says, and those people of Israel, they chose to worship other gods instead of worshiping the Lord, their God. I mean, the Lord was supposed to be their God. You know, worshiping Hollywood, you know, we're worshiping all these other gods that are now fallen for now. Yeah, NBA, NHL, MLB, NFL, Major League Soccer, and all these other alphabet sports. Thank you. Yeah, worshiping Hollywood. TV shows. Musicians. And deciding that all these other things were more important than the Lord. When America sells out a stadium every Sunday in the fall, and so many churches have lots of empty seats in them, that can be a sign of where the hearts of the people are. You're being harsh. No. I'm telling it like it is. If my people would humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, I would hear from heaven, forgive their sin, and heal their land. You say sports bad? No. I watch it myself. But you shouldn't put that ahead of Jesus. You shouldn't put that in front of Jesus. No. And so, my hope is that out of all this, my hope is that Americans are really praying. I pray that even these governors who have chosen to usurp the Constitution, may they find God somehow in all this and repent of what they've done. My hope is that America, I pray this, that America can get out of its stupor and repent. And that America can have true revival. True revival in the hearts of his church. Obviously, listeners, you can pray that for your country, wherever, whatever country you live in, if it's not America. And I've always been so proud to be an American, but sometimes some of our leaders, it's like, been like, huh. But God had his hand on Israel. God has his hand on America right now. Do you think that it is an accident, Shelley, that we have double, more than double the cases of any other country? That shows that they did this on purpose, doesn't it? And I say to the media listeners, they can think what they want, but they did this. Whoever did this, no one was trying. They, whoever did this, did it on purpose. But America will be strong again. This is why Americans need to humble themselves and pray and seek the face of Jesus' face and turn from their wicked ways. I had seen something like this. So you, and this Facebook thing, it basically said this. So you want to worship the ball players, worship athletes that will shut down the stadium. You want to worship Broadway singers and musicians. I will shut down theaters. You want to worship these movie stars. I will shut down the cinemas. You want to worship money in that. I will shut down the restaurants and the stores. You don't want to worship me. I will make it so that you can't come and worship me. Not that the Lord would do this, but did you see that thing, Shelley, that had said that?
No.
But that's pretty crazy, isn't it?
Yeah.
But in a way, though, you know, he didn't do it. To a way, in a way, there's kind of truth to it, isn't there?
Yeah.
So all these other so-called gods, they're gone. Mickey, gone. Minnie Mouse, gone. Let me think here. Oh, all those fourth guys I said, gone. Most of your cinemas shut down right now. Your sit-down restaurants right now, for the most part, unless in certain states, they're gone for right now. And those of you who are into all this other stuff, got to seek the face of God and repent. If you love something else more than the Lord, now would be the perfect time for you to repent of your idolatry, if you have it. Anything that you put ahead of God is an idol, whatever it is. America has to look at itself, the American people. And I feel like God's about to do something really big in this country. He's going to do something really big. But I will say, Americans can't just be quiet. It requires the prayer of the saints. As people pray, God will move. Virus cases will fall. And the economy will come back. But more exciting than that, God will do a new thing in this country. I know He will. I think God is dealing with some of these politicians who have chosen the corrupt path. I pray to God He is, and that He's shaking them. And He's dealing with the corruption of government, as He also deals with the corruption of His people and the corruption of the church. that's in the user-friendly church, and that he's dealing with the false doctrines that are in the church, the false and the faulty. He's dealing with. I was at a camp meeting last summer down there in the Columbus, Ohio area. One out of three people that was there went up there to give their life to Jesus. And you think, you know, most of these people who are here should be Bible-toting believers. Maybe a couple hundred go up there, give their life to Jesus. But at the end of that, he said, this has something to do with faulty teaching. Faulty teaching. We have all these teachers preaching that it doesn't matter how you live. It doesn't matter. You can go to heaven no matter what. And that the truth shall be faulty teaching. Faulty. Or wishy-washy. And I think this faulty stuff, I think the days of the user-friendly church are numbered. God's dealing with it right now. And I think that God is doing a new thing. And it's going to be great what God's going to do in this country. And it'll come back to God. You may say, what about elections? What about all that? Well, I'm not going to get all that tonight, but I will say, I'm just going to say that as the people seek the face of God, God will show them. And those people who chose to usurp the Constitution, I think many of them are going to get booted from office. Either by executive order or by recall or by losing the regular election. And so be praying about that. And I believe that as people seek the face of God and repent, and I think you're going to see some really good things happen in this country in regards to not only economics, but also in the realm of, in the church, in terms of revival, in terms of repentance, in terms of salvation. If you're a pastor listening to the show, get ready. Your churches are going to be full. Some will be new converts. Some will be because other people brought them. And if you're a pastor, just be ready. Make room. Because they're going to come in, they're going to fill your church. Because people are looking for answers from the Lord. People have already decided, I'm giving my life to Jesus. And I just believe that great things are going to come. As Americans seek the face of God and turn from their wicked ways. Lord God, I thank you for this word tonight. I thank you right now for America. I thank you for what you're doing in it. listeners, take right now is a good time to pray over your own country. Thank you for this country, America. Thank you for what you're doing in it. I thank you that you heal America and make it whole again. And it'll be better than what it's been. I just thank you, Lord God, that your hand is on it. Bless the church. Bless those, Lord God. I thank you for those who have tuned in tonight, that they learn something from this. And they give you all the praise and all the honor and all the glory for that. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. A couple observations from the draft. Lions did get another running back from Ohio State. They got an offensive lineman for their overall first round draft pick, number 3. And then they had someone else who was a defensive lineback. All 3 of them were from the state to the south, that school to the south. And so, yeah, 3 of them. Actually, 10 Buckeyes went in the draft, along with 10 Wolverines. Another big thing of note that I had noticed, draft rating in Cincinnati, it was the highest rated television draft that they've ever had anywhere in the NFL for that particular city in Cincinnati for the first round, first overall pick. Another thing, Patriots did not draft for a quarterback with the absence of Tom Brady. So that creates a lot of uncertainty for the Patriots as to what will that team look like with the absence of Tom Brady. Now, in the case of the Lions, being we got these 3 kids, 3 Bucks, I hope that they can bring a sense of camaraderie to that locker room, that togetherness, and that they won't just be like one of those cliques, click thingies, but it'll be that they can work together and try to unite that team, that locker room, those other players. And also on Friday, NBA in the states that have eased stay-at-home rules, they have opened up. They have allowed practice facilities to reopen for players individually to come in and work out. So that's a hopeful sign. And I'm starting to see more hopeful signs. And Miracle Man, some of you may say, Miracle Man, will there be an NFL season this year? Yes. Will there be a college football season this year? Yes. What about high school? Yep. I do. I honestly do. And I think, I really do. I think this is going to be over sooner than you think. I think come June, July, and August, you're going to see some really good stuff happen. As you go through May, you'll start to see a lot of recovery happen. Same thing with June, but then July and August, I think you'll see even more degrees. And some of you may say, what about a fall shutdown for sports later on? I say no. I think God is going to flip this thing on its head very soon. Don't you just have this feeling, Shelley, that God is in the process of flipping it on its head?
Yep.
It's not just something like I confess, like in the spirit. I honestly think that's going to happen sooner than what they realize. And I give you so listeners, until next time, God first, God always. So long, everybody. Yep. And even today, we had the lowest amount of cases in just over a month. You saw that too?
No, I didn't.
Only 432. We had less by like 500 less cases in 3 days than what we were having for
week on a daily basis. Oh, what is that? It's kind of juicy. Don't get my mind. Where did you get that? Where did you find it?
Pretty good. They boiled it. I need a napkin. I saved you a piece. Wasn't that nice of me?
Aww.
I'm
going to
go snoop your candy.
I'm good. I don't want the rest of it.
You really don't? You don't like steak?
I mean, I do. I'm going to eat it. I'm going to eat the rest of it. Hand it back.
Oh, are you sure?
It could use a little salt on it. It's kind of...
You just put some salt on it.
I'll put some salt on it. Actually, cut off the piece. But, because we were having about 2,000 cases a day.
Yeah, they were lying.
And even now, it's probably less than that 400 that they claimed a day. So you imagine they've been lying the whole time, is what you mean.
Yeah.
And then in one state yesterday, Pennsylvania, they were forced to take a couple hundred off. They covered 90.
No. Okay.
For whatever reason, they were forced to take them off. So that actually took the amount of deaths down by 200.
Oh. How is it now, Viv?
It's a lot better.
Hi. Your hair is done. That's a joke. I'm just kidding. Fucking fair in you.
It is the higher Sheba and no more Fosse.
Yeah, I remember.
Hi. Are you related to Anthony Fosse?
No.
Good. You said no.